Thank you. That was great. Are we on? A little bit? A little bit. Can you hear me, everyone? That's good. That was a good offering message, not just because I told her, because I wasn't even thinking that at all. I was thinking one line where it said Zacchaeus gave away like half a yield. I was like, yeah, that's right. That'll grow a church overnight. But she went so much deeper than where I was going. It's like, hey, this guy met Jesus and gave a lot of money. I think that's a good story, babe. Anyways, how you doing this morning? That was some great worship. Man, that was so good. That was like one of the first times I've been right here just worshiping with everyone rather than just playing some guitar. So it was amazing. Because it's like different when I'm down there. Because if you would have seen me, sometimes I'm just like speaking in tongues for like 10 minutes straight. But if I was to do that on guitar, people would be like, what is that guy doing? Just his mouth is... So that's why I usually sing the song, and I'm usually at a mic. But here I'm just like, go! And I'm like, yes, I missed that. So that was nice. I got a battery in my pocket. Would you like it? Oh, right on. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, I'm reading from NKJV. And we're going to start with Romans 5. So if you can turn there with me. This is even going into what Andrew's talking about. I love how that goes piggyback. So verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6, for when we were still sinners without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that. Do we sometimes remember, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? So often we think we got our stuff together, and then we kind of claim Christianity as our own thing, where we start making the rules of who's in and who's out, who deserves love and who doesn't. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to remember that this morning. No, we need to remember that this morning. It was coming out goofy. I just went with it for the whole line. Love month. It's been love month. We love love stories. Am I right? Ange and I love the stories about endless love. And about to-death love. We love those stories. And a lot of us do, like, I'll be honest, Ange and I, we listen to Backstreet Boys. We also listen to Hanson. But we like this stuff. I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. It's because I like a good love song. I don't like stuff on the radio that's all sensual and just like, you know, Lady Gaga or whatever his name is. But we know deep down inside that we're built for more than just sensual love, right? Yeah. We're built for something deeper. And so sometimes it can be a movie. So just to have some background music. It can be a movie. We know that love is deeper than just the flesh. Oh, yes, turn that up a bit. You know, a good love story. It's like, Jack, there's not enough room for us on this thing. She's like, don't go, Jack. Don't go. And then she just, the door was big enough for both of them, I always think. But just listen, why don't you just close your eyes and really get into it. You can turn up a bit more. We all know this song. If you close your eyes, we could have the lights dim down to just black. And no, let's not actually. But in this moment, you know, if you burnt some bags of sulfur on the side and it went pitch black in here, we'd all be convinced we just entered hell, I think. That's what this is right now. Thank you. So, but you can turn that off. That was beautiful. Celine Dion, eh? Not a Saskatoon, a Canadian treasure. I love this. John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world. I love the story. No greater love than a love that a man would lay down his life for another. That's why we love stories like that. We love hearing those songs like, I'd catch a grenade for you, you know? Something on a blade. I don't know what the song. Something about a blade for you. I jump in front of a train. There's something about, like, I would give my life for you. We connect with those stories. Not just like booty shaking love, but the deep down love. But Jesus wants you to know that you are so loved. Does Saskatoon know that it is so loved? Or has it taken the pill that they're so condemned? Or they're super in their sin and they're condemned? Have they taken that pill? Like I said earlier, we receive grace for ourselves, but do we deny it for others? Or it's amazing, we can give a lot of grace for people outside the church and be like, oh, you're a prostitute, that's okay, God loves you. But the first time somebody in church slips up a little bit, we're the first to jump on them. Who are we to be giving grace like that? Sometimes we look at saving the world as our job, and then we start to make rules. Do we forget that reconciliation is God's idea? And it's a love story. Do you remember how it felt the first time you felt His forgiveness? Where you felt that weight taken off of you? Oh, I remember that first time. And if you can remain in that, that's what I often think of as like the childlike heart as well. Man, a person who knows what it's like to be forgiven, you just walk in a lighter sense. You walk in a freedom. So let's remember being forgiven and how good He is to us. God loves you this morning. He loves you so much, and He's got your number, and He's pursuing all of you. He's got, His mind is just genius, incomparable. No one else can compare to how much He is pursuing you this morning because you are so loved. How the world views love. This is a good little picture of how the world might view love. I saw her, she walked in, and I saw her across the playground, or whatever the story may be when you're young. No, I saw her across the room, and her name was Angelisa. But how I'm afraid that the world might portray it is, that's not a bad name, we could change that. And you know, if she just got a little bit of plastic surgery, and if she just lost a few pounds, and if this and that, then maybe I would love her. There's this thing in the world that just is always telling you to change. Change how you look, change how you dress. You know, if this person would just dress a little better, then maybe I'd love them more. I know that sounds a little strange. I love Angelisa, everything about her. Everything about her. But if you read God's story through the lens of God, He said, while you were still sinners, He died for us, right? There was no God saying, I will love them if they change. And that's just true for us. Never love a person for who they'll become. Love them for who they are. You didn't receive Christ's love. Christ didn't die for you because you were going to do something for Him. I was talking to Ange about this last night. God loves us personally, not merely as servants or instruments, and not just because we can be useful to Him. You and I don't have a relationship with a chisel or a hammer, do we? No. Neither does God have a relationship with us as His tools. Being used by God is simply one of the benefits and a privilege of knowing Him. But we are His children, and children who He dearly loves. Reinhard Bonnke preached something on that. It was so good. God is motivated by love, not some need for us to be useful. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a life change that happens when we know Christ. And he doesn't want you to stay in the same place. He does want you to grow closer. But you got to know, he loves you where you're at. God is motivated by love, not a need to be useful. I don't play guitar up at the front to prove that my fingers work. I'm not trying to prove that to you guys. I play guitar because I love music. And the same is true. God doesn't heal our hearts because he's trying to prove himself and prove his power. He does it because he loves us. And I feel like one of the reasons why Jesus used to get upset with the people constantly asking for a sign is from that reason. Because he didn't do these signs out of something to prove his power. He did it out of love. So sometimes, like do a trick for me. It's like, yeah. He'd be upset. It's like, I don't do it for just no reason. I do it out of love. I do it because I love somebody. So many of us are not motivated by love, but we're motivated by a need to change. I need to get holy. If you were like me back in high school, I would mess up daily. And oh man, if I messed up good, man, I would just feel so bad. I'd go to my house, I'd go in the basement, grab a Hillsong CD, smack it on there, put it on the song of I'm a sinner, that song. And I would just throw it up and I'd just go on this binge fest with God of how. But I wasn't coming to God out of, I love you, God. It was out of, I was so in pain that I was so terrible. I was able to put on music and be in this state of feeling a little better. But I was not actually coming to God in that moment. Do you know the difference? Sometimes you're able to come to a song and it helps you feel better, but you're not able to just come to God. And the root question that I had, that was the root cause, was, will you still love me if I bring this to you, God? Will I truly be accepted by you if I bring this to you, God? We all fear rejection. It's part of this world. And rejection causes you to run. And it causes you to act certain ways around some people and other ways around different people because you're scared of being rejected if you're acting who you really are. And the cause of rejection is to pull away, to be alone. Anonymity is a killer. People who feel like no one cares, they feel irrelevant. They feel like what they do doesn't matter. And seclusion kicks in. And because we need acceptance, we move to desperation. And desperation leads to compromise. Step by step. We need to be accepted. And when you don't feel accepted, whether it's in your mind or whatever it is, if you start to feel rejected, you start to seclude yourself, right? And in that place, you get... So I'm not here to talk about whether you compromise or not, but I'm talking about that there's a generation of people and all they've ever felt is rejected. Let's say by the church, let's say, okay? At least the view they have of the church. They haven't felt his love and all they've heard is rejection. I'm here today to hopefully put some stories in your heart when people feel rejected by God and by his love and by the church. Because I want you to know this morning that you are not rejected, you are accepted. You're not rejected, you're accepted. This is going to be a good morning. Tighten your boots, or whatever the phrase is. Do you realize today that you are so loved? Do you realize that this morning? So I want you to ask yourself today this question: if I really bring myself to him, will I be accepted? Answer that question. If I really bring myself and everything I am to him today, will I be accepted? Rejection may have plagued your mind for too long, but God has freedom for you this morning. So we're going to turn to John 4. Again, I'm reading from the NKJV. I like other versions, but I find like I can actually read this one. And then when I come to preach, yeah, it seems I stutter, so I think I can read any. That was just me making fun of myself. That didn't work out so well. Because I tried to stop halfway through because I'm like, no, don't jinx it. You're going to start it this time. No. John 4, verse 4. But he came to a city. No, but he needed to go through Samaria. He came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. I didn't know there was thuses in the NKJV. You don't come around thuses too often. Thus and thine. Jesus is thee after thine, except after thou. No. Now Jacob's well was there. He sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where, then, do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I hear a couple amens from the little baby. That's awesome. Amen. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you is he. And we're going to quickly jump to 38. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there. And many more believed because of his word. That's good. Wow, that was a lot of reading. I love that the purpose of C3 is to get you to the well. Get you to Jesus. We preach a lot of Jesus and a lot of New Testament at our church. I just hope you know. But the purpose is to get you to the well. She didn't know that she was coming. She was coming at that time of day. It says because she was actually worried about what other women would say about her or other people would think of her because of who she was and how she felt rejected. She felt unaccepted. So she came at a certain time of day when it was the hottest to draw water, when she knew that nobody else would be around and there Jesus is. I love that story. She's coming at a place of trying to sneak
She felt low, and then, oh, if she only knew she was coming to Jesus, the one person that would not reject her, the one person without a doubt would accept her. And she says, he told me everything about me. And she doesn't walk away with shame. She walks away with a story of the Messiah, and he's come, and he would talk to me, a Samaritan woman. She's walking away with this joy in her heart. Like, you know, she had to have a little bounce in her step as she left that well, you know? Like, I just talked to a Jewish rabbi. And this ain't just no Jewish rabbi. This is one of, like, the Jewish rabbis with authority. This is one of the rabbis that everyone would have known about, Jesus. It's one of the few that walked at a certain level in that time. So she's just walking away so pumped. She knew everything that was happening, even that he would talk to her. Something was different, and something had changed. And so when he says, the Messiah, the one you're looking for, I'm here. I don't know how she did it. Maybe she left her water or just like ran halfway, got tired. I got more to run, so she dumped it on. I don't know. She just kept going. She had to cool down. That's my idea. But she went away with no shame. Getting you to Jesus, getting you to the well, there is healing in him, in Jesus. There is joy in Jesus. There's not joy in just getting you to a program. If we can get you to Jesus, we know that you can come back to life. That's where the best life is, in Jesus. Not in just more things piled on your plate. Many of you are looking for a well, looking for a life source. And Jesus says, you're looking for a life source and you're coming to this water, but you'll never be satisfied until you come to me, until you come to Jesus. So Jesus spoke with the woman, and she was the first evangelist who brought a whole city to Christ. Isn't that good? He told me everything about me, and there was no shame. We're going to jump ahead to John 8, just a couple chapters forward. Oh, this is getting good. Flip a couple more. I love it. I don't know how it happened when I was talking with Angie about the sermon. I ended up talking about two stories about women who were unaccepted. So here's number two. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came into the temple. So he's coming to the temple. And all the people came to him, and they sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And your Bible might say, taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. I love this. This is one of my favorite stories. Jesus stooped down. Can we say stoop down? Stoop down. And wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. Let's say raised himself up. Got back up and said to them, He that's without sin among you, let he cast the first stone. And again, stoop back down. Stoop back down, let's say it. That's right. And wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, left one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. And then Jesus raised himself up. Say, raise himself up. And he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I love this story. I've talked about it before. So, first of all, this woman, it says, was caught in adultery. That she was taken in the act. And I'm always curious how the Pharisees knew how to find her. I don't like what they're up to. I don't know what they're up to and how they knew where to find her, but something tells me something ain't good about that. But these Pharisees, they weren't concerned with all the issues that brought this woman to this place where she's now giving her body away. All they were concerned about was trying to use her pain to trap Jesus. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do. But little did they know, they had just brought this woman to the well. The one person, again, who would not reject her. The one place of acceptance. If these Pharisees would have known, they just pretty much brought her to the safest place she could be. They're trying to trap Jesus, but they just brought her to the well. So we know this story is going to go well. They're trying to trap Jesus, and they stand in front of Jesus, and they say, the law of Moses commands that this woman is to be stoned. And I got my rock already. So that's what I picture them. I brought my rock with me. Moses says. But then they're like, what do you say? I just love Jesus, just stoops down. It says he, as if he didn't hear them. Anyways. But this Bible, this story is about us. The Bible does not share stories or portraits so we can just study the lives of other people. The Bible gives us somebody else's story so that we can see hidden in this story of a woman being accused. This is my story. This is our story. So we have to be willing to find the common ground between us and her. So the story is, it doesn't matter how bad you came in here this morning. What matters is how you receive what Jesus has done for you and then how you leave from that place. Man, I love how there's babies all over this place. That's great. It doesn't matter how bad the sin or how long I've been in it. What matters is how he sees me and how I live in response. So they bring this woman caught in the act and they're trying to trick him. The Pharisee doesn't care about the woman. This woman is a pawn to them. They want to challenge Jesus and they're trying to trick him. And watch to see. I love this though. That's why I said say stoop down. Watch to see if Jesus doesn't immediately posture himself to not care about what the Pharisees. The Bible says right there, it says, as he stooped down, wrote in the dust, as though he did not hear the Pharisees. Don't you love that? That these guys would just parade a woman through the temple where people are making sacrifices and all that. And Jesus is like, I bet he saw him walking and just like, I cannot believe you're doing this, guys. Why would you do this? Why would you shame this woman like this? Why would you try and embarrass her? And he just stoops down like as if he didn't even hear them. I think that's something we would do as well. Or else we might just like, I don't know, kung fu style all those guys. But they have rocks, so I don't know how you'd do it. But you try. But he positions himself in a place to relate to her. Because I bet Jesus knew where her eyes were, right? You got to imagine. He stoops down. Because I knew where her eyes were. Instead of getting into a debate with a bunch of religious people that were trying to test him, he stoops down to the ground. Because it's not the well that need to be. It's not the well. Just let me read it. That need a physician. But the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Oh man, he could have debated the pants off those guys. He could have made them look like idiots, but he doesn't even do that. I love Jesus. That's a good lesson for us too, right? When people are saying stuff we don't agree with, if it's necessary, just stoop down and don't pay attention. So immediately he says, I can stand up here and talk religion all day, or I can get down in the dirt and identify with this woman. I'm glad that my God knew how to find me in my hurt. Are you glad this morning that God would stoop down into your situation and relate to you? Because if you're like me, God didn't find me in church. God didn't find me on a nicely padded theater. He didn't find me in Bible college. He found me because he knew how to get into the dirt and to deal with me. And I know a little bit I know some of you know my story, but growing up, I had a lot of fear and I had a lot of anxiety. I was one of those kids. A lot of like sadness, a lot of sleepless nights. It's kind of like how my life was before I met Jesus. And at some point, my parents went to a church that believed in this thing called prayer. And they believed that when you could speak the promises of God, that you could speak it over your life and it would be true. So pretty much they started speaking over my life that I wouldn't live in fear. That God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a love and power and a sound mind. Right around that same time, my nightmare stopped. I used to have almost a nightmare every night. It was ridiculous. I was in so much fear, but all of a sudden, it's true. I started speaking the promises, and what happened? My parents spoke it or whatever, but God freed me from that. And if you know me, I'm not really afraid of anything now. I feel like I got to deal with that when I was young. And now I like cut my finger because I don't need gloves, you know? I'm like, anyways. He stoops down. I don't want to go to a church where people pretend that their lives were just great before they met God and that Jesus became a lovely little addition to their Sunday mornings, you know? I don't want to go to a church like that where it's just, oh yes, I had everything together and Jesus is just my lovely little addition. It's like the pepper that I put on my meal. Don't need it, but I do like it. Oh, but I know God, when I was in that, I was that little kid full of fear, full of sadness. And I know that Jesus says, where is he? Where is Brock? Let me get down into the dirt. Let me go to where he is. Oh, I love that. As if he didn't hear to those people. Those people that thought they had this plan to put this woman to shame and put Jesus to shame. He bypasses them right over top of their religious talk. And we got it all together. We don't need you, Jesus. And he gets down in the dirt to the one woman who thinks, if Jesus doesn't do something, they're going to kill me. He gets down to her level. He knew how to catch her eye. Can you imagine her demeanor being dragged in there? He gets to her level. Verse 7, it says he stoops down. And after the Pharisees continued to pester him, he stood up. Oh, this is starting to get good again. So he stoops down, and it says the Pharisees kept talking to him. And what does Jesus? He stood back up. Let's say, stood back up. They should have just left well enough alone. Have you ever heard that? They should have just left him alone, but they stuck around too long. And Jesus stands back up and says, and you, without sin, cast the first stone. And it says, again, he stooped down into the dirt. Get his attention right back to the woman. He stoops down again to her. He stoops down again. So this is a good message of his love to us. He continually will get down into the dirt for us. Do not be afraid at any moment to just run into Jesus' arms. When you have a slip up, when you mess up. Because it says he stooped down into the dirt again. Jesus will get into your situation every time that you mess up. That's good news this morning. He's a God who continues to get into the dirt. He specializes in dirty situations. And the Bible is near silent with stories about Jesus making time for the pious, the stuck up, the people who've got it all together. But it's full of stories of Jesus coming to the hurting and coming to the people that have messed up, coming to the thieves, coming to the tax collectors, coming to the prostitutes. It is full of that. Never get this idea that church is for a place, that's where God meets the people, because they've got it all together. Oh, I can't go to church. No, I think God's on the streets a whole lot. God wants to meet with the people that are hurting. He didn't come just for the well. Oh, he came to seek and save. That could be our slogan. Sometimes C3 Church is more into the saving, but are we willing to seek and save? That's a good question. Are we willing to get out there and seek somebody who needs Jesus? Ask yourself that. Why does God come to the hurting? Because he knows that no matter how many times we get here on a Sunday morning and we clap our hands during the fast songs, lift our hands during the slow songs, he keeps continually coming back to us because he knows deep down inside of all of us, there's some real hurt going on. There's hurt that he still wants to come and free from you this morning. I believe God wants to bring freedom this morning. So verse 8, it says, he raised himself up. He stands up and says, he that's without sin among you, cast the first stone, stoops back down, writes on the ground. And it says, then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, left one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. Did you hear that? Jesus is left alone. They left and she stayed. Like, that's exciting. They left, she stayed. That's church growth. The pious stuck up leave, and the hurting comes to Jesus. People who think they got it all together, the religious folk leave, and the hurting come. And the cutter comes, and the anorexic comes. They come to Jesus because Jesus relates to them on their level, and because they need a Savior. Sometimes I think about that verse, Jesus didn't come for the well. Sometimes Jesus didn't come for those who think they had it all together. We need a constant place of remembering we've been forgiven. Constantly in our hearts. God came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to get into our situation and redeem and restore us. We're about to wrap up. If we could actually have the band come on up, that'd be great. And it's important to note again that she didn't stay in the dirt, right? There's some churches that say, oh, let's just not talk about the sin. We got to talk about it. He won't hold you in condemnation, but he also says, go sin no more. Do you know why? Because he doesn't want to see you in the same place forever. He doesn't want a church full of addicts. But he does want to walk through the process to see you restored and see a church full of ex-addicts. Amen? God doesn't want a bunch of porn addicts, but he will take a church of a bunch of ex-addicts. Amen? That's good. That's part of why I'm passionate for God. And people wonder, why is he like that? Because I used to be an ex. And you don't even know when exes get going and worship, man. There's something different. A church full of people who recognize how much they've been forgiven and how God has been so good to them. And don't forget it, man. Those people don't want just two songs of worship. That kind of worship can go all through the day and into the next morning. That kind of worship. People who realize they've been forgiven. Where are you at this morning with forgiveness and how you've been forgiven? Oh, we're dignified. We're distinguished. We like to come to Sunday morning. We like to drink our coffee and sip our donuts. That's what we like to do for church. You knew what I meant. What if we could have a church where the religious says, the music's too loud, but you know, the person who hasn't been in church says, I fit right in. I feel right at home here. Wouldn't that be amazing? So this morning, we have been forgiven. So don't forget it. That's pretty much the whole message, and I know it's been all circling around that, but the love of God is so deep, but it's so easy to forget what he's done for us and to make rules of who gets in and who gets out, who deserves love and who doesn't. While we were still sinners, he died for us. He's willing to get down into your situation. He's willing to get where you are. And it's okay. The first thing you got to admit, yeah, you've got some hurt in your life. Come to him. Don't run away. Don't try and stuff that down. Let it rise up. Because you know what? He doesn't want to expose you. We talked about that last week. But part of saying to God what's going on kind of, you could call it exposing yourself to Him, coming into the light. The light is actually healing. So you want to come into a place where you can say, God, this is what's been going on. I need a heart change. You got to come to Him with your hurt. Don't just push it down. Just the final thoughts. This story about stooping down and getting back up and then stooping down, back. This isn't the first time we hear this story. First time Jesus ever got in the dirt was when He was born. Jesus was born in a barn. Jesus was born in a low place, not in some palace. And that should just, even in the first place, come to say that Jesus came to recognize with us, with people who don't have it all together. He's not afraid of the dirt. He even made the guy that came before Him, kind of a dirty guy, John the Baptist, eating locusts and wild honey, wearing camel's clothes. I don't know. That was just for the tape. But listen to me. At about 33 years old, what does Jesus do? Satan wouldn't back off, so Jesus raised Himself back up. He's down. He raises Himself back up. First time He's born, He gets down in the dirt for humanity, raises Himself up, hangs on a cross. Where does He go? Bows of Sheol. What does He do? Takes the keys to hell and death, to life and death, raises Himself back up. And I just love Him. Jesus, I always picture when He took those keys. You either picture Carmen or you can picture this. Carmen had a song that was about that. But I just picture Him kicking that door in. It's like, you thought I was crucified and stayed in the ground. I just picture Him kicking that door. Satan and his boys are just around playing cards or something. And He just like backhands them. They just go flying. He takes the keys. And He's not coming in as some broken man on a cross, right? This is where He stepped up. He steps in as the Alpha and Omega. He walks in. He's the beginning and the end. He has life and death now in His hands. Oh, I just love that picture. And He raises Himself back up. And the Bible says, Ephesians 2:6, He's raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places. So the last time He got up, He said, I'm not going up alone. He says, we've been seated with Him, and we get to be children, children of God. That last time He stooped down and got back up, He brought us with Him. That's good news. That's good news. No matter what your situation right now is, God came to defeat death. So when He came up, He would take you with Him. Isn't that good? And He's saying, take your place with Me. So if you remember when I was in high school and I'd run to things but not run to God, He's saying, don't stay out of the dirt because you're afraid He won't forgive you. Because He will always forgive. There's never going to be, this is the last time He'll forgive me. There's never that. He'll always forgive. We got to stay out of the dirt and come into a new place of fellowship with God. So this morning, even as we sing, know that by His great love, you've been forgiven. And He hung on that cross. Oh, I just went and sung with it. It was the right key. No, He hung on that cross and He was thinking of you. He was thinking of your face. And He knew it was only going to be 3 days. And guess what? He's going to redeem all of humanity. Isn't that good? He gets back up. He stoops down for that woman. But He says, you know, I don't condemn you. Go sin no more. And I believe He was saying that same thing, like, I'm not going to condemn you for what you're doing, but come with Me. Follow Me. See what I do. You don't have to live that kind of life. So this morning, know that you've been forgiven. If we would even stand, we're going to sing together. If you would like to receive prayer, I just want you to know, like, Ange and I will be up here at the front. We want to come pray for you. I just want you to know you've been forgiven, and just want you to picture His face saying, I don't condemn you, but go sin no more. And he's like saying, I don't condemn you, but I do want to restore you. And I do want to bring you to a better place. Amen? God's good. Let's sing together.